I'm grateful for each person that calls this church their home. And this worship team has taken on such a beautiful place in my heart, not only just because of who's up here and how much I love each one of you, but because of the fact that you just continue to say yes to the Lord. And like, I don't know if you guys know this, I talk about it often, but Jeff was in our youth group, like, when he was young. And so to see him like leading a team of people, of musicians, and like Leslie leading people, it's just such a beautiful thing. It's such a great reminder of when we give God our yes, that he takes it and he like blows up the yes into something that's so amazing and so incredible. And it's like your yes is never too small. Because when it is coupled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and with God, there is nothing that it can't accomplish. So I want to remind you of that, just the beautiful thing that God is doing and in each one of you. And so we're excited about that. But we are in our wisdom series, Wisdom, like applying the Proverbs. Don't be dumb. We're going to apply them, so we're not dumb. But over the last couple of weeks, Richie and I have really been praying and seeking the Lord. Are we still on the right path? Are we doing what you've asked us to? But this theme keeps popping out over and over and over again in Proverbs. And I was like praying the other morning and I said, babe, I really do feel like the Lord has just given me so much information on this with Proverbs, but I can't just do like one sitting of it. And so I said, here's what I feel like the Lord keeps showing me: laziness over and over again. Over and over and over and over again in the Proverbs. And Richie was like, babe, so funny you say that, because, and so what happens is over the next 4 weeks, we're really gonna dive into this overarching theme of laziness. We're gonna dive into it. And the reason why we're gonna dive into it is because each one of us can't sit here and be like, I know, I'm so amazing. That person sitting next to me is super lazy, because there's a piece of us, of all of us, where we are lazy. There is things inside of us where we are lazy. We can't ever point a finger at somebody else and be like, oh yeah, definitely. What happens in life is this, that we judge everybody else by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. And the problem is we elevate ourselves to a status that we have not been given privilege to be elevated to. So it causes us to have disdain for people. It causes us to deflect when we should be really reflecting, looking on the inside. Lord, what have you asked me to do? I'm not worried about the outcome when I've given it to God. We're not worried about the outcome of praise and worship because we constantly give it back to God. I love what Richie says over the last couple of weeks, and this is this theme that keeps coming back over and over again. We don't just sit here and consume praise. We produce praise. As a church, we've been called to produce. It's very different than mainstream church. You walk in, you hope they play your favorite 3, your favorite 4, so that you feel good. You get a message that talks about God's love and how to love everyone. And then you leave and you're like, check. That's not the case here. Sorry. We'll give you like 2 minutes to walk out if you want to. But that's not the case here, because what we do is hard things. That's our motto. We do hard things here. And the reason why we do hard things is because we don't just want to challenge ourselves spiritually. We want to challenge ourselves in every single area, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially. And that's really what this Proverbs series has taken on. It's that total package of how do I not just talk about loving Jesus, but I actually look like I love Jesus. There's a big difference in that sometimes. So over the next 4 weeks, we're just gonna, you know, kind of dive into this theme of laziness. It's over and over again in the scriptures. When I was doing research on this, the Bible talks about sin 293 times. It addresses the word sin. It talks about laziness 116 times. I thought that was pretty key. Because we don't think of laziness as a sin, but it is, in fact, a sin. There is no laziness in our God. There is no laziness in our God. And today, I really am excited about being able to share with you the theme of work ethic. work ethic, and how to instill work ethic if you have kids in your kids, if you have grandkids in your grandkids, if you're a teacher, how to instill work ethic in your students. If you are none of those things, how are we doing with our work ethic? How are we maintaining as adults? Are we in a good place? Are we in a place where maybe we need to turn up the notch a little bit? Maybe we need a little introspection here. So I have a picture. I don't know if you guys remember this. Where's Waldo? Who remembers this? Where's Waldo? My sister was a whiz at this, okay? She's brilliant anyway, but she could open up a Where's Waldo. We could be walking through Walmart, Target, wherever. She would open up a Where's Waldo and be like, there, 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 there. And I'm like, I had no idea. I was like, who's Waldo? Like, I didn't know, right? And I kept having to look at Waldo and then look back at the page and look what. So it was like frustrating to me. When I was really preparing for this message, the thing that kept coming up over and over and over again is God saying, I've already put these things inside of you. I just need you to recognize them and exercise them. And really and truthfully, this Where's Waldo picture is so key in that, because once you see Waldo one place, you're like, oh, I see him. Okay, I see him again. Okay, I see him again. And as parents, one of the things that we really have to do is we have to recognize that God has already put the gifts inside of our children. Recognize for us, he's already put those things inside of us. So when I'm bad at time management, I always show up late. What I'm speaking is something that's the opposite of God's word over me. The truth is, I am good at time management because he put that in my heart. I have to exercise the gift. And that's what this whole thing is going to be about. So we're going to talk about that specifically. The objective today is that we instill those things in our children, and also that we exercise those things consistently. A one-off is nice. How many times have you shown up for church and it's been a little bit early and somebody's been like, oh my gosh, you're early. You didn't show up second song in. How many times has that happened? When I was growing up, we were known as the Tardy Hardy, okay? That was my last name, Hardy. The Tardy Hardy, because we were late everywhere. We were late to school. One year we were late to school like 37 times on our report card, okay? I can't drive, that's not my fault. So we were always late. And I remember this bothered me so much because it was your nickname and those things follow you through grade school. So it doesn't matter who your teacher is one season, in the next season, you're gonna hear that same thing over and over again. So I would be like getting up super early. Maybe that's why, I just thought about something. Maybe that's why I'm up at 3:30 every day. That's probably it right there. But honestly and truthfully, I would try to get up early. I would try to get my sister up, like, get up out of bed, you know, throw these clothes on, doing everything we can just to get out of the house on time. Because I didn't want that thing associated with who I am. And it's the very thing now where I'll show up 30 minutes early and sit in the parking lot. I'm not scared. I do it. I do it. And that's why. But this thing, you're going to hear Richie and I say this over and over again through the next 4 weeks, and it's this: busyness is not the same as productivity. Busyness is not the same as productivity. Just because I'm busy doesn't mean I'm productive. There's a difference. It's going to be quiet today, and I'm okay with that. I already know the Holy Spirit told me. Proverbs 12 and 11 says this: a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Production yields reward. Busyness creates an illusion. The proof is in the reward. The proof is in the reward. Three questions I want you to ask yourself today, and this is not my closing point, so don't get excited, okay? Three questions. The first one is this: do I put higher priority on the want-tos versus the have-tos? Do I put priority on the want-tos versus the have-tos? Do I have a laundry list of things that I was going to get to that I haven't quite gotten to yet? Do I have a pile of things inside my house, projects started but not finished? The want-tos versus the have-tos. Second question, am I constantly coming up short? Am I constantly coming up short? Side note, financially, if you're short and you sit on the couch for 2 hours a night and watch TV, that's 2 hours a night you could be busy getting something done, being productive, earning a living. Your reputation matters. Your reputation matters. The third question is this: how often are you idle? How often are you idle? Hours a day do you sit? Hours and hours and hours. Or are you thinking about, man, what am I doing today? What's my goal? And executing my goal for the day. And then at the end of the day, I can look back and say, I accomplished what I was supposed to do today. I love this because God modeled this in the way that he created the world. For 6 days, he worked. For 6 days. And we read things like, and he created the heavens and the earth. And we forget that the heavens encompasses the solar system. The solar system. It wasn't like he was like, oh, there it is. I mean, think about the detail and the intricacy and the creativity of our God to create our solar system. And then at the end of his day, after he had toiled and worked, that he said, it is good. It is good. That's how we work. As believers, that's how God has called us to live. That's how he's called us to work. We should be the ones in business. We should be the ones on our job that people are like, man, who can I get? Oh, I know exactly who to get. I know I got to get Leslie because Leslie's the only one I know who's going to work until the job is done. That's how we should be known, that we go above and beyond. That's how he's called us to live. And then we're going to take that day of rest. So 6 days of work. And then that one day of rest. The Lord did it. He requires it of us because he didn't make our bodies to spin 24/7. We need that day of rest. My mom is so funny because every Sunday since I can remember, every Sunday we went to church, we came home, we made a giant meal, we ate our faces off because we're Italian, we had 50 people over, and then we would do dishes, and then everybody, including the guests, would go take a nap. You'd wake up, like, you know, Sunday naps, when you wake up and you're like, where am I? Like a newborn kitten, you can't like open your eyes, you know? You'd wake up and there's like bodies all over the house, like sleeping. I'm like, did that person really sleep here? You know, take a nap here? But honestly, that's how God designed our bodies. We need that refresh. We need that. There is no laziness in God. Like I said, it is a sin. Proverbs 10, 3-5 says this: the Lord will not let the godly go hungry, but he refuses to satisfy the cravings of the wicked. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. A wise youth invests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. And that's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to hear that. But I think over and over and over again, when we read this in the Word of God, when we read what God is showing us and the why behind the what, we can look and see that he does not ever want us to be in lack. Never. And so he'll give us a warning. He'll give us intuition. He gives us discernment so that we can read the times and the seasons and we can understand, wait a second, so-and-so just got elected. Oh, I better work a second job. Can I be real? Can I be real? That's seriously, we have to live like that, because if not, if you just maintain in the next season, you're gonna be short. You have to look ahead at the seasons and discern, okay, wait, I see this is coming up, and I don't have my emergency fund is not stocked up. I better work a little bit extra so that I can save a little bit extra, because should something happen, should a disaster happen, should a hurricane come, what am I going to do? Do I have the money to get out of town, or do I have to stay and ride it out, pray, and I'm good? What are we going to do? There's some practical things that God wants us to not just survive, he wants us to thrive in every season. And the people who do this best are the ones that recognize, wait a second, I can give 10 to the Lord, I can save 10, and I can live on 80. 10, 10, 80. It's a principle we're teaching our kids right now. We did not know this principle. We struggled. Richie and I still, if we're being truthful, at times we've struggled because we're like, oh, you know, just put it on a card. Well, guess what? You just paid for that thing 13 times. And then you're mad because I got to work extra hours. And we're like, dang, why do we do this to ourselves? Discern the times, discern the seasons, read the Proverbs and apply them. If the Lord is saying, hey, listen, we want you to sow and reap in every season. Every season. Because of the curse, what happens is there's some seed we're going to put in the ground that is not necessarily going to yield as big of a harvest as we think it should. There are some seasons where you're going to be like, why isn't my money going as further as it was 2 years ago? We're going to have to sow a little bit more. We're going to have to sow a little bit more in this season. My first point to you today is this. When we're talking about good work ethic and instilling good work ethic or practicing good work ethic, making sure we have that, is number one, equip. We have to equip. Equipping. Proverbs 22, 6 through says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are old, they will not leave it. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Parents, teach your children what it looks like to pay cash for everything. If you don't have it, don't buy it. Here's why. The principle is delayed gratification. The principle is I know how to deny myself in a certain season because I'm saving for something that I really want. You know why? Because you appreciate it more. You appreciate it more. If the Lord just gave us everything we wanted, we'd be spoiled brats. We'd act terrible. How many of you have ever seen that kid in the grocery store and you're like, I know that mom gives their kid everything they want because that kid is screaming so loud right now in the grocery store, pitching a big old fit because mom said you cannot have whatever's in that weird gumball machine. Why? Why do we deny our children when they're younger, so that when they're older, they know, you know what? I don't really need that right now. I can save for it and then buy it when I have the money to pay cash for it. So I don't have, you know, to put it on a credit card for 2 years. The second thing is this, expect. Once you've equipped, then there's a level of expectation. So I can't just give my kids, I expect that you're gonna do this. Let me give you a for instance. Okay, Richie aired me out last week. So it's my turn now. I'm just kidding. So last week what happened, Richie was telling you guys about the painting story, right? Okay. So here's the truth, okay? The truth is our girls wanted to paint the bathroom and we thought, okay, we'll let you paint the bathroom, okay? So we go, Richie goes out to Home Depot, he buys them all this stuff and he gives them all the resources. He gives them everything. Here's the paint, here's rollers, here's whatever brushes, and there you go. Paint the bathroom, okay? Halfway through, they're like, do we go around the outlet? And I'm like, oh my gosh, take the outlets off. You know, I'm running over there. And then all of a sudden, I walk in the hallway, and they're like painting the hallway, but the hallway floor is all painted. And the paint is like, it looks like somebody took the paint and like splattered it and it's all dripping down the wall. And immediately, we talked about this, guys. The crazy Misty came out, right? Immediately it came out. And I told Richie this, I said, you know, I feel like we failed God in this moment. I was so upset. And I said, you know why? Because we gave them the tools, but we didn't teach them how to do it. And I wonder how, as parents, how many times do we have this expectation? You were in church. You heard the word of God. What does Proverbs say about laziness? But have we operated in such a way where our kids would go, we're not allowed to be lazy in my house? Silence, right? Because it's convicting. It hurts a little bit. It hurts a little bit. Because what did I see growing up? Did I see my parents working hard to provide a living? Did I see they didn't call out sick all the time and then go to the beach? They were actually working and then we scheduled our vacations. Seriously. We have to remember that we are not just living life, that we're actually teaching our kids something. There's people coming behind us that are gonna model our behavior. What is it? there are people around us that are looking at us going, that person says that they're a Christian. How are they operating? Are they operating like they love the Lord? That means when I do something, I do it with excellence. You know why? Because I'm not doing it for that person. I'm doing it for God. Yeah, I may be employed by someone, but who put me in that position? God. So I have a responsibility to honor him with what he's put in my hand. And for some of us in here, he's put things inside of us. He's put desires inside of us. He's put things inside of us, gifts and talents. But we always just assume, oh, I don't have that gift. No, it's that you haven't operated in that gift. You haven't exercised it, and you've not called things forth that are not as though they are. That's what the Bible says. We're going to call those things forth that are not as though they are. I may not be great at being somewhere on time, but dang it, I'm going to set myself a reminder. I'm going to put a checklist in place, and I'm going to be on time from now on. Details matter. The little things matter. So we're going to create a level of expectation, not only for ourselves that we're going to work with excellence, but that the people coming behind us, our little ones, our people, our little toddler feet coming behind us, we're going to expect that they do it with excellence as well, to the best of their ability. It may not be like mom's. They may not paint like mommy, but we can now know to get a tarp and put a tarp down. Okay? I'm just being real. Get a tarp and put a tarp down so that we don't have to see mommy act crazy, okay? Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says this, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Proverbs 22, 15 says, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. Immediately, all the old school 80s Christian parents go to spare the rod, spoil the child. And that is not what's happening in this verse right here. What's happening in this verse is don't just tell your kids, quit being silly. Don't be foolish. Don't do that, blah, blah, blah. Show them. Show them, work alongside of them. Create an opportunity for that physical discipline to be enacted, not only in you. You see mommy get up every single day and do her devotions. Hey, I'd like for you guys to get up early every day and do your devotions. Set your alarm for 5 minutes early. I'm good with whatever. If the Lord leads you to more, do more. Why? Because we create expectations. I've equipped you. I've given you the word. I've given you opportunities and things to utilize and access the word. And now I have a level of expectation that you're going to operate in those giftings that God has put inside of you so that you can be all that he's called you to be. Because one day I'm not going to be there and you're going to have to rely on him. And if you don't do it now in our home, I'm going to be a little bit scared when we get out into the open. And when you go to college, and I don't need a phone call. Mom, dad, can you come get me? I'm in jail. We don't need that phone call. So we're going to get rid of we're going to get rid of that foolish behavior, and we're going to use discipline to do that. Walking with the Lord. They've seen you do it, so you're going to do it. It's not spanking and corporal punishment. That's not what we need in that moment. And the reason being is Psalms 23 says this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's talking about discipline in those moments. When David's writing this, he's talking about your rod and your staff comfort me. It means the Lord's discipline brings comfort. It brings us to a place where we understand, I know that he's correcting a behavior inside of me right now. He's correcting a thought process that's not profitable right now. And it's comforting to me that the God of the universe that created the heavens and the stars would lean down and whisper to me, hey, that's not okay. There's something so comforting about that, because he's not just a God that creates and then walks away. He walks with us. And that's what he expects of us, that we do that. The last thing is this, enjoyment. Enjoyment. After you've worked and toiled, you get to enjoy the fruit of that. Listen to this verse. Ecclesiastes 2:24-26. It says, "So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work." Satisfaction in work. "Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat and enjoy anything apart from him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind." I love that description of what it looks like when we just work and allow God to just bless us, because we get satisfaction in what that looks like. Our work ethic matters. Like Where's Waldo? Those things that we think we're not great at, God is saying, "I already put them inside of you. You're already there. I just need you to operate in it. I just need you to walk in it." It's in those moments when we do that, when it's like something unlocks inside of us and we see new facets of not only God and our relationship with God, but we see that there are truly unlimited opportunities with our Heavenly Father, that he has never capped you. You know that? He has never said, "Vinny Eckert, this is all you'll ever be." Never. He doesn't do that. His resources are unlimited. He just wants us to believe him for more, to believe him for greater. And the moment that we do that, the moment that we say, you know what? For example, let me give you a little for example. We have a child who is in competitive cheer. Anybody who has had a child in any kind of competitive sport knows it costs an arm and a soul for that to happen, okay? And so in my mind, I'm like, do we really want her to do that? Because you know, what does that mean automatically for the parents? I gotta work to keep her there. Well, we don't have that kind of money, and we don't work jobs that we have that kind of money. So what we said was, we will volunteer for all the parenting volunteer options so that you can earn extra money. Richie was serving pizza at Raymond James Stadium the other night with the team, dads and moms. And the reason being is because it all goes into your kid's account. Do we want to do that? No, but what are we teaching her? One day when her kids are in the same situation that we are in, they're not going to hear their mom say, "We don't have the money for that, sorry." They're going to see their mom make sacrifices because her mom and dad made sacrifices in that moment. In every season you're sowing, in every season you're sowing, in every season you need to be reaping something. It needs to be good seeds that God has for you. We are going to leave with these today. We have these for everybody who's leaving. And basically these are a checklist, a little checklist. I'm going to run through it real quick. And what we want you to do is we want you to look at that list and we want you to compare it to where you are right now personally. We want you to look at that list and compare it to your kids. Where are your kids? And it says this, the proof is in the fruit. This is my Where's Waldo moment right here, okay? Number one, time management. Do I have time management? Do I know how to show up on time? Number two, self-discipline. Does somebody always have to tell me to do something? Or do I know, I'm self-disciplined enough, I know what needs to be done and I can do it. Number three, desire to improve. Do I have a desire to get better? Or am I okay maintaining? We should always be desiring to get better. Number four, initiative. Do I take initiative in doing things? If I see something on the floor, am I able to pick it up? Or do I walk over and go, man, this place is filthy. It's your house. Clean it up. Kids, we want you to take initiative. We want you to. Let me tell you why. There is nothing more amazing than the times when Richie and I have been working so hard and we come home and our kids are like, "Hey, we folded the laundry and we did the vacuum." I was like, babe, walk out of the house. This is not our home. These are not our children. In truth, they're in there. They've seen them operated. We've given them opportunities for them to operate. And that moment, the Lord was speaking to them, "Hey, why don't you do something nice for your parents?" And they did. That's a gift. That's a gift. Number five, godly conduct. Do we conduct ourselves in a godly way, no matter where we are? if someone's being a jerk to us, are we giving it right back to them? Craig and I were talking about this before service. Before he started serving the Lord, he was like, I would have a bad day and I would just like, ugh, Hulk out on someone. He said, now I'm just like, okay, just keep on walking. Why? Because we know how to turn the other cheek. We know how to turn the other cheek. Number six, productivity. Productivity. Are we producing or are we just busy? The proof is in the pudding. If you're producing, you're not gonna fall short because you're gonna recognize, wait a second, I can see what's coming up. I'm gonna work a little extra so I can get ahead of it. Number seven, collaboration. This is where it always goes back to team projects, and we hate them. Even in elementary school, we hate them. But they're important because one day you have to work with other people. You have to learn to be kind to other people. Saturday mornings in my house looked like this. Monday through Friday, we went to school, okay? We played sports, we did all the things. We never watched TV during the week. On Saturday, we had two options. We could either go in the house and clean with my mom and Nana all day long, or we could go outside and do yard work with Papa all day long. Sounds like slave labor. No, it's not. It's biblical work ethic. 6 days a week plus one day of rest. That's biblical. Number eight, they need to have an entrepreneurial, innovative tendencies. This is weird and people will be like, why is that important? The reason being is because there are certain seasons in life where you gotta get creative. You gotta get creative. Are you the kind of person who you are like, oh, well, I hope our company does better so I get a raise? No, maybe you need to be a little innovative. Maybe you gotta reinvent something. If you got a cricket, you better sell some stuff. Number nine, goal setting. Are you setting goals for yourself constantly? Every single day, you should wake up with one goal in your mind so that how are you gonna know if you had a good day, if you accomplished anything, if you don't set any goals for yourself? We gotta set goals, we gotta work on accomplishing those goals. Number 10, enjoyment following work. You've got to get in a practice of having enjoyment in your life. It could be one day a week that you come to church and then you guys play as a family. We spend the day together. That's what we do. That's your biblical model. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for this day today. God, I thank you for the ability for us to learn and to get better. And God, we thank you that in every season you've challenged us. Lord, you continue to push us to get better. Not just because we're your kids, God, because you have more for us, but because we want to create a ripple effect to those around us. We thank you for calling us and equipping us. Thank you for the gifts that you've put inside of us. Lord, I pray for every word of curse that we've spoken over ourselves. I'm not good at that. I'll never amount to anything. Lord, we take those things down right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you that in their place, we're going to replace those things with faith. Lord, that we're going to be a people of faith. I thank you for drawing us closer to you. God, those moments where we may feel far away from you, Lord, that we are wondering, God, I don't feel like you're coming through for me like I want you to. Lord, I thank you that you're gonna give us creative ideas and resources and ways, Father God, for us to have the work ethic that you've put in our hearts. I thank you that when you created Adam, that you put him in the garden and you told him to work it. Lord, from the very first day of creation, God, you put work in our heart. I thank you that we're gonna find satisfaction in that. Lord, for the things that we put our hand to, God, I pray that they would prosper, that everything we put our hand to, God, would prosper. And I thank you that we're gonna do it to honor and glorify you. Lord, I pray for every person in this room today, God, who may not have a relationship with you. Lord, for the people in this room today, God, who may not understand what it looks like to have a heavenly Father that walks with you, that holds your hand through life. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that today, God, that you would draw their hearts to you. Lord, I pray that today they would take one step closer to you. Lord, give us the opportunity, Father God, to tell people just how much you love them. Thank you for being the dad that never left us, that's never forsaken us. You've walked with us every step of the way. We're so grateful for your presence in our life, God, and we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.